We've got our recording tape continuing for FBI purposes only. Go ahead, Cassandra.
So we're really thankful to Paul Sanford for dreaming up this idea. And then we did a silent procession through the parking lot. And the real message we wanted to get out was, as Amy said before, that our civil liberties are being denied. And we designed this protest so that the media would come out and see that.
Who showed up, media-wise?
We had three TV channels,
whoa,
right, which were actually two, because one is two combined.
That's significant. Can I just jump in on
sure.
that? Channel 46, although they were really great people, the individuals who came out, and I really thank them for their, you know, as objective as you can be, and then again, their understanding of the importance of free speech that I think that they were displaying. But oddly enough, Channel 46 is also Channel 35. They share building, they share staff, they do one story, and they split it between the two, which is Fox and CBS, which is just, you know, narrows that vision of how much free speech is out there in the mass media. So anyway, I just wanted to highlight that. Sorry, didn't mean to steal the mic.
No, no, that's fine. This is your show here. I mean, this is the people's show. You are the people, regardless of your views on other subjects. So were you... Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one more thing about the bed sheets. Like, it just goes to show you how sad the state of the world is, that we have to get our message out, that we have to put it on bed sheets. And even that, by the arm of the law, the establishment doesn't even accept that.
You know, bed sheets were the medium by which Becky Johnson and Chaim Levin held up their sign about Emily Riley at the corner of Mission and Laurel Street, saying, you know, ask Emily Riley about her votes against the poor. Why does Emily Riley vote against the poor? That's bed sheets seem to be a sort of a low-income traditional approach to getting these issues out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if the entire consumer industry of the country is geared up to the American flag, hunt down and kill the traitors approach, as we see, in fact, it is, then folks have got to use whatever comes to hand. Is the police station in Scotts Valley? I was wondering where it is. Is it near any shopping areas? Did you have any shoppers watching? Any kind of Christmas crowds?
No.
In a
it's
word.
Actually, it's kind of at the end. Well, it looks like it used to be the end of a street, Civic Center Drive in Scotts Valley, and it looks like they've just recently put up some kind of condo tract housing kind of thing
up there. Kind of out of the way.
Yeah. Right, it's right, yeah, right below City Hall.
Are you going to take this issue to the Scotts Valley City Council meeting? I don't know when they're coming up, but I imagine they're going to be, are you going to bring this issue up at those meetings, do you think? Or?
We don't have plans to go to the Scotts Valley City Council. We're talking to Paul Sanford about the value of filing a legal complaint with the Scotts Valley Police Department, or possibly Caltrans, who we've learned, I don't know if we've said that yet, but we've learned through this process that, yeah, we talked about that, that Caltrans allows an exception for American flags on the overpasses and for nothing else. And so, you know, that is a blatant violation of everybody's First Amendment rights, that, you know, that one voice, that one perspective can be used in that public space, but nothing else can be.
Are you going to repeat your vicious behavior of, what was it, Monday or Tuesday, and put up another flag or bed sheet? Is that in the cards?
Oh, okay. Yes, it is in the cards, but we, being true dissidents, we're not going to say when or where.
So at current time, you better watch out there, Tom Bush, and Chief Belcher, keep your eye on these two. They say they're not terrorists, but hey, look at the consternation they're causing here. How can folks be of support or assistance to this civil liberties issue? I really think that this is one of the first and most blatant examples of the direct ripple effect of national repression at a local level. What can we do to help you?
I think that the coolest thing that could happen is if everybody gets their bed sheets out on the overpasses and they've got a hell of a lot of bedsheet cleaning to do on the overpasses. If the voices of dissent start getting out there and people in a real shocking and bizarre way, bedsheets of all things, start having their voice be heard on these overpasses where we've been subjected to seeing the American flag for months now, that sends a really strong message. And then if your bed sheet gets taken down, do the same thing. Call the media. This is happening again and again. Maybe we have a class action suit against Caltrans or something. The other thing is to, you know, write letters to the editor about the issue. Talk to your people in your community about the fact that this is happening in this community. It's not just other communities that have this kind of silencing. Stand up to any kind of silencing that's happening in your own life, without mentioning any names. I know that there's been a rally, a peace rally organized at a local high school, and some of the student organizers of that peace rally were taken aside by one of their teachers and chastised
Pepper
for
sprayed, perhaps.
No, but told in very harsh and read the riot act.
What school was this?
I'd rather not say, because I haven't asked those individuals if it's okay to talk about it.
I
but
see.
I think it's important that people know that it's happening in this community.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. So there's no specific plan for a unified group to go up there and put up a bed sheet. You're suggesting that individuals start doing a little bed sheet stuff, exercising their First Amendment rights, and presenting a number of messages to the consumer public that's driving over the hill every day.
Mm-hmm. I think the beauty of this whole action was that it was just Amy and I, and we were just trying to come up with something to do, and we really felt that nothing was going on as far for us. And we were feeling the urgency of this issue of people dying in Afghanistan and us going along and spending, going out to shop. And it just felt like America was asleep. And so, in a lot of ways...
How could you be so cynical?
Me, of all people. Usually so positive.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was showing you, too, a petition that... It's a petition to Santa Cruz City Council, and if you look at it, you'll see it has over 600 signatures with names and addresses, emails. And the petition reads, as members of the community, we stand against terrorism of any form. We believe that cycles of violence will not make anyone safer. To this end, we urge that the Santa Cruz City Council pass a resolution that takes into account the following 3 points. One, bombing an entire civilization is a cruel, or the remains of a civilization in any case, is a cruel and ineffective method of pursuing a few criminals. And not only will a war on terrorism kill thousands of innocent civilians, but it will deepen anti-American sentiments and fuel more terrorism. War is not the answer. Two, we must all stand together against any form of racial profiling, scapegoating, prejudice, or hatred. We need to speak out against racism in our community and oppose any legislation that will draw distinctions based on nationality or ethnicity. And three, it is not necessary to exchange freedom for safety, from internment of Japanese people during World War II to the blacklisting of communists during the McCarthy era. Wartime policy has been known to devastate our civil liberties. This must not happen again. And 600 people signed this. It looks like a lot of UCSC addresses. And it was presented to the Santa Cruz City Council on October 13th. And guess what? There was no debate or discussion on any kind of a resolution at City Council in terms of... No council member introduced anything, not even our old friend Christopher Crone. I mean, I'm not just talking about Christopher Crone. I'm talking about all seven of these guys.
Chris, call in.
Hey, Chris. We could actually call Chris. I actually know his phone number. We could... Invite our new mayor to join us on the air, or to hang up on us, as the case may be. I may do that before this is over. But we're not going to blame poor. Give Amy a chance to get away from the studio before this happens and pretend she isn't actually involved. Well, she's not, of course. She's just trying to push an issue that I think
prisoner.
She's being held prisoner here for those who are she's perfectly free to leave, provided she gives her $50 registration fee at the door, of course. So there is this petition, which I finally got a hold of. It took me a little doing to do it because the city council, it was kind of buried in the oral communications file. And, you know, they've made some people who don't want this petition brought up and discussed and voted on. That's what the city council decided to do. They held a town hall meeting where everybody got to jabber about the war, and that was nice, and there were some very eloquent statements made. But the city council did nothing about it, unlike the Berkeley City Council, which voted 5-4 not to support Osama bin Laden, but to oppose terrorism and to oppose the terrorism of bombing civilian populations to catch criminals. I mean, it's a no brainer. And I guess when they bomb you enough, you haven't got body or brains left. But can you hand me that? I guess I handed you, Cassandra, a kind of a discussion of what happened in Berkeley. There was some talk about how Berkeley, oh, there was a big boycott of Berkeley once they passed these resolutions. But in fact, what happened in Santa Cruz was, here's a story from the Mercury News, officials shun anti-war stand. Mayor says resolution would be seen as insensitive. The left-leaning Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday night, and this is dated October 25th, decided against taking a stand against the war in Afghanistan, leaving Berkeley as the nation's only city, actually there's a second one since then that's picked up on this, to call for a halt to U.S. military action. Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice said that passing such a resolution that was clearly divided on the issue would be insensitive, particularly since New York is still digging out of the terrorist rubble and Americans are dying from anthrax sent through the mail. I'm not quite sure how you want to kill more people, and that's going to be helpful because some people are dying of anthrax poisoning, not very many, I might add. I mean, in terms of, you know, I mean, I know that 35,000 people died last month of smoke-related disorders, but we are not hanging the tobacco executives, which might be actually not a bad idea. But, you know, I don't wish to sound like a terrorist on the air. Actually, I don't believe in capital punishment. I think, you know, a good mud bath for some of these clowns might be a very good idea. You know, I mean, there is no, you know, I mean, so here we got mayor, and he's still, unfortunately, council member Tim Fitzmaurice. And, of course, every one of the city council backing up this bullshit about not having any kind of meaningful, you can look this over if you'd like, any kind of meaningful community statement. I mean, if people want to stand up and support Bush, let them do it. I mean, that's fine. They have a right to do it. This is or should be a democracy. But I would like to see people who oppose the bombing, as you do, be able to do more than put up a bed sheet on the freeway. You know, I mean, I think it's good. You know, I think it's good that you do. But I mean, what about official statements from city councils? And the city council can give a statement about Nicaragua. It can oppose the terrorist drug war in Colombia. And we're talking about the government terrorist drug war. Government terrorists, of course, aren't going to get indicted, and nobody's talking about bombing Washington to get rid of the terrorists there. And I think some of them tried that, and they were called terrorists in return. But the point is, here at the local level, we need to have our representatives express points of view that really reflect at least the people who elected them. And I frankly believe, and I could be wrong, and I'd like to see a debate about this, the people who elected the city council, I think, favor telling Washington, this is wrong. Stop the bombing now. I mean, I read in today's Mercury News that Bush has recently made a decision, that's George, not Tom, no offense, Tom, and thank you very much for your polite treatment of our activist friends at the Scotts Valley, but there was a recent decision that we're not going to make as a priority bringing in food into Afghanistan. Our main priority is in getting the Taliban. And so as a consequence, as the weather worsens over there, and as you pointed out, I think I read 5, you say 7, millions of people are going to die, and probably the biggest catastrophe of the century in the shortest period of time would beat the Holocaust, because it would be within such a short period of time. It would be over the winter. Holocaust took 5 or 6 years. I mean, you know, you want to say anything about this?
Well, a couple of things. The food, apparently somebody was killed by a food drop. Some woman got killed in her house. The food actually dropped on her house.
They meant to drop a cluster bomb, but by mistake they dropped the food, you see.
Right, which is interesting. I mean, this is the one that's been reported. Now the media is in there a little bit more. Just a wee bit more is coming out. Wee bit more. But, you know, how many people were dying before by just the very food bombs? And then this is like landmine territory, so the food bombs dropping out of the sky, setting off landmines, is another issue that never came up.
Packaged the same way as the cluster bombs, or with similar kind of colors on
right.
the packages.
But that's one thing.
And
then
now it's all being sold, or some of it's being sold by Northern Alliance profiteers.
Oh,
I mean,
there you go. That's
at least
great.
That's another
story.
Well,
there's free market coming in. There you go.
Right. And of course, you have developing is another civil war in Afghanistan, which, ironically, the Taliban was hailed as for ending the civil war in 1995-96. So it's the sheer terrorist manipulation from above by governments like the United States, and it is the United States doing this pretty much. I know they got their little dog, Britain is barking away from the side, and there are other countries supporting it. This is a U.S. action. You have a situation where the fundamental needs of Afghanistan, there's no interest in that.
Well, the other thing that I did want to say is about what you were saying about the resolution and people locally getting involved in that. I mean, my first thought on a resolution is kind of a little bit, I have to say, cynical and big deal, so they pass a resolution. But But you feel that way about the bed sheet, and I just say, like, who cares what it is? It doesn't, you know, like, I go through so many things in my head sometimes, and I think, we could do that, but how effective is that? And you spend your whole life just thinking, oh, well, that's not it. That's not the silver bullet. Well, who cares?
Stop brooding and start acting.
Yeah, something, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter. That's not the silver bullet. But if you're putting up a bed sheet and somebody else is circulating a petition and you sign it and you support it and, you know, somebody else is out there at a rally or holding a sign at the town clock, together we end up, like, showing that there is dissent in this country, and that will only grow as people see that there's a safe space for their voices of questioning. And without any action, we go nowhere, and it doesn't grow, and we stagnate, and we, by not acting at all, end up supporting this war and being guilty as much as anybody else of letting these people die.
Silence gives consent, as they say, and that's why we can't be silent. And I think I wasn't at all trying to demean your bedsheet activity. I think it's good. You know, but I'm saying that in terms of, you know, official organs of government taking a stand on issues of important moment, you know, at a national level. And I know some people say, well, why don't you deal with the damn local situation and stop all these national proclamations? And I have some sympathy for that. But I also think that, frankly, because I think people need to know the politicians for what they are and stop believing that they're going to be doing things that they don't do, however nice they are to us personally and amiable they are when they talk to you at coffee clutches and that sort of thing, what are they going to do in office? And this is an example of what they're not doing at the most basic level. Almost all their constituents are willing to support them, I would think, at least on an issue of a general opposition to military activity. But maybe Christopher Krohn is calling in to help us explain why he has not done this. I'm sure he has a good reason. Hello, Chris. You're on Free Radio.
No, it's Carl.
Oh, Carl. Oh, what a disappointment. Carl Wilson of Camp Paradise?
Yes. with evacuation of Camp Paradise. The water, they took out a lot last night, but the water came up very strongly around 9 o'clock this morning. And taking just about everything we can get our hands on out.
And so what do you need people to do, Carl?
Well, we've got, it's pretty well, the emergency section is pretty over, much over. I've got to check on the weather, but there's a lot of stuff that has just been moved up to higher ground and really needs just to be pulled out. So people who just can carry stuff from the riverbank up to the cemetery. They have quite a few vehicles, although another truck or two wouldn't, another pickup or two wouldn't hurt.
How about some coffee?
Probably good. a little hard. I delivered over 4 packs of Coca-Cola, which is caffeine and sugar, which is what they want.
Yep. Some medicinal marijuana, perhaps?
No, they're not. Something more stimulating is that than that.
Now, have you been at this all day, Carl? I know you're a neighbor who lives near Camp Paradise.
Yeah, I've been pretty much involved this morning since I went down there. I went down not thinking it was going to be so bad this morning. I went down, there's a place where you go under the Highway 1, that pathway, and I wanted to see if that pathway was dry enough to get through, and it had ducks on it.
Really?
Yeah.
So the ducks are taking over Camp Paradise.
Yes, they are.
Wow. Well, I knew they'd return at some point. There were those two old mallards who were kind of wandering around Camp Paradise this summer. So what's the story? I've expressed concern. We got a call from Jane Immler, an activist back east, who mm-hmm. has been following this thing on the email. She's concerned that if Camp Paradise disperses, it's going to be bad for them in terms of their ability to maintain a cohesive community. Is there any sense in which, has there been a call to establish Camp Paradise 2 or another Camp Paradise? Or what's happening there?
No, everybody's too, we're not that. They're doing a good job of trying to salvage the tents, which... be the basis for something in the future, but right now everybody's just trying to make it through the next few days.
What about other campers who aren't a part of Paradise, who don't have get the media support and the community support that Paradise? Have you heard anything about the rest of the homeless community? The 1,000 to 2,000. And I guess we wouldn't, because they and that's one of the values of Camp Paradise, because at least we get to see a small fraction of what's going on there. So you suggest people bring down their vehicles and come down with what, you got some boots on, and as you have to wade through water? What's the story?
Yeah, there's a lot of places where it's muddy. the waters are going back, but to get out to some of the One of the things we want to do is prevent trash from going down the river. The river is really, really carrying a heavy load of stuff. I mean, it's coming down like logs are speeding past.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get as have as little go into the river from the camp as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some of the stuff that needs to be retrieved. But the people who have been carrying stuff out, they've been working quite a bit. They worked last night and they've been working this morning.
So they're tired.
Yeah.
So we need some new troops to come down and do that. I'm sure that Amy and Cassandra are eager to whip on their hip boots and
not
to say me.
And they have to be prepared to a fair extent to organize themselves. Larry pushed himself to the limit, and his back was really getting him.
Larry Templeton, the founder of Camp Paradise.
Yeah, and I think they took him down to the Dominican.
Oh, really?
Because his back was so bad.
Well, where are Camp Paradise people housed in motels for the moment?
Yes, there's Seabreeze Hotel, Motel.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of them are down there. A bunch of them are have made other arrangements. Tony and her two kids are up with Emily Cutler.
The Quaker person.
Yeah.
I know the Quakers were going to open a hall in the event of this emergency. Did they do that? Did they open their church up?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. They brought around some food. There's some food up there. We're using the cemetery water spigot so people can go up and wash their hands and grab some food.
The city council hasn't moved in to remove those spigots? Right.
Police came by. Everybody is really very cooperative in this emergency. You know, we've got a country that's so kind in emergencies, and then the day-to-day grind that grinds people down. They don't respond to that.
It's so true.
But anyway, there's a good response right now.
So how can people? Are you calling from your home?
Yes, I am.
Now, is there a number people can call to reach you at if they want to offer assistance and perhaps can't make it down or want to determine when's the best time to come or how to get there?
Well, I don't really have that much news myself.
I see. So you
don't... I'm going back and forth. I guess I'm going to go on down.
Should they call your number or should we have them call somebody like Becky Johnson who may be home?
Yeah, why don't you do that? Because I've only gotten down to answer my answering machine just occasionally now.
Okay. Now the place for people to go is to the Oddfellows Cemetery.
Yeah.
Off of Ocean Street Extension. Can you describe specifically what you do to get there?
Okay. Well, you you go under the freeway like you're going up Graham Hill, and you go past the turn off to the freeway, and it's the next left. The cemetery starts right in there, and it's the first opening to the cemetery.
And they've opened up that gate?
Yeah, and you drive down there, and you can see where the cars and trucks are lined up.
And so bring a truck and bring yourselves and help out if you can for as long as you can. And
Yeah,
that sounds great. And if people want more information, they can call Becky Johnson at 429-8529. She may be, I think she's at home and kind of ill, but she's fielding calls. And I guess they could leave you a message if they needed to, or would that be best?
Not very good for me to get
calls. Okay, yeah. Let's let Becky handle those calls. And
because I think right now I'm going to look at the weather report, and then I want to take that down to go onto the web and get the weather report, and I want to take that news back down to them. So
has the city, by the way, provided any trucks or vehicles or workers to help?
No, they haven't. But there's been talk about how they are going to help out with putting them up,
uh-huh.
And they haven't. Haven't been able to get a hold of people too well, but
I understand Mayor Crone showed up.
I did not see him.
Oh, he didn't show up. Well, you didn't see him.
I don't know whether he did or not.
I'd heard that he did show up, and perhaps he did. Again, I think I understand that Scott Graham called him last night and requested that he make city vehicles available to move stuff away, and because after all, the city was supposed to be investigating a proposal to relocate these folks to different areas and come up with an emergency plan, which apparently they didn't do for some strange reason. I don't want to be one to cast stones at our new mayor or the city council, but where the fuck are they is what I'm wondering.
Oh, so. You shouldn't use language like that over the radio.
I guess not.
The FCC will pull your license.
Right, they might do that.
I think we forgot to get one.
Why don't you print your own and mail it back to them and say, we realize we've been bad and so we're turning it in.
Right. Well, listen, Carl, we're talking with Carl Wilson of Camp Paradise, neighbor and friends of Camp Paradise. He needs your help, and get down there and help out those folks. I'm going to be busy drinking my coffee latte down at the roasting company and pondering the nature of political dissent. Thank you, Carl.
Who's that laughing in the background?
That is the notorious Amy Courtney. You would know if you were listening to free radio, but instead
well,
you're engaging
I'm catching bits of it as I drive around.
I see. Well, you've got to remember, listen to the show. Forget about helping Camp Paradise. It's much more important to just hang out at the radio.
This is
one of the two people who was putting up the messages on the freeway that are helping to kill our boys in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
She's a terrible individual.
Betraying our country.
She's
like
betraying
that.
Our country, suggesting that, you know, starvation is more of a menace than a lack of patriotism.
You think starvation is more of a menace than being bombed?
Well, I'm not sure which is a greater menace, or whether it's. I think we need more. You know, I think peacekeeper missiles will help us.
There's a synergy we've developed there, isn't there?
What's that?
There's a delightful synergy we've developed between starvation and bombing.
Well, you know, starvation removes the targets just a little. It takes a little longer, you know. And it clears the territory. Doesn't produce any kind of radioactive debris. So there's a certain advantage to starvation. Plus, it teaches them a good lesson. Yeah. Buy more, and you'll be able to eat more. That's what we're all going to do as Americans. Why can't they do it as Afghanis? Well, listen, thank you.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
It's Free Radio Santa Cruz, defaming our good public figures and holding captive well-intended individuals who are trying to bring the issue out to the public, issues out to the public.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor. You've been listening to the show?
Just for a few minutes now. I just got in. I'm calling in kind of off of your subject. I feel a little guilty because everybody's got such problems, but I'm kind of calling in to ask for some help.
Go for it.
As you may remember, and some of your listeners may remember, that I'm disabled, and I live in Mercy Housing System, Sycamore Street Commons.
One of the fine Mercy Housing complexes.
Yes.
Is it giving you a complex?
No, they haven't managed. Mm. Giving me a hard time, but I have a strong sense of self-worth. So
mm-hmm.
They can't totally destroy me.
And facility with legal papers.
Well, let me just try to make it brief with you, my situation. I gave a 30-day notice to vacate because I found a disabled person's apartment in a complex that's just disabled people,
mm-hmm.
which for me would be better because it's difficult here.
You're in a wheelchair, yes?
Yes, and I have sound and vibration sensitivities, which this place is very hard on me in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this apartment, and I gave my 30-day notice. And shortly after I gave my 30-day notice, the new apartment fell through.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story, but not any of my wrongdoing, but it fell through. And I immediately gave my withdrawal of my 30-day notice to
mm-hmm.
Mercy Housing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're refusing to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to evict me.
Huh. What's your eviction date?
Well, this will all start, the process will start this week. When my 30-day notice expires, they'll
Which particular bureaucrat refused you the right
Steve
to be?
Farmer. By virtue of his attorney. I'm being retaliated against because I've asserted myself and my rights as a disabled tenant.
And what way did you do this?
When I was being abused and when I didn't have equal access to things here.
You filed complaints?
I filed a complaint with HUD.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they have an attitude with me, and so...
They want to get rid of you, you troublemaker.
Yeah, but it's retaliatory because under HUD you're not allowed to do that with disabled people. You can't do this. But they, you know, they're going to do it. So I'm asking people to give a call, and because I don't believe that this is what the Sisters of Mercy had in mind when they formed Mercy Housing,
mm-hmm.
nor do I think that they would approve if they knew about it. So I'm asking people, if they agree with me, to call Steve Farmer at 471-1914.
One more time.
471 1914.
479-1914?
Yes, and tell him evicting a disabled person is not what Mercy is all about. Don't make a disabled person homeless in the name of Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just leave a message on his voicemail. You don't have to talk to him. And my name is Eleanor Foresta. I'm the one that they're doing this to.
Eleanor Foresta?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so anybody who agrees with me that this is not the way that they should be, and that this is not what the Sisters of Mercy had in mind when they started up this whole housing organization, they've come a long way from that. And I don't believe that the farmer or his attorneys should be interpreting what the Sisters of Mercy had in mind in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically all I have to say.
Hey, I appreciate it as usual, Honora, and it sounds like this is an important time for folks to speak up on your behalf. Of course, I'd like to try to put it as an issue, which is that a disabled person who gives a 30-day notice and then needs to rescind it because of circumstances beyond her control should not be retaliated against for her past activism, even if she's had some conflicts with the management.
Exactly. Thank you. This was circumstances beyond my control, and it was 10 days after I was given the notice of acceptance and approval to move into the new place when they pulled the rug out from under me and immediately notified everybody here about it, and didn't find out until recently that they're not going to honor my withdrawal. So, yeah, anything you guys can do. I'm just asking for phone calls.
So give a call to 471-1914 and speak to Steve Farmer about Eleanor Foresta.
Yeah, and ask him not to let his grudge against me, because I woke them up and made them think.
Mm-hmm.
To evict me.
Well, at least you didn't hang any banners over the freeway.
No, I didn't do that.
All right then.
Thank you so very much. God bless, and my prayers are with everybody at Camp Paradise and everywhere else who are oppressed. And out there in this dreadful, dreadful weather to be out there in, my heart goes out to everyone. I do not know how the powers that be can sleep at night with this going on, but they're sleeping on the job, so.
A couple of drinks, you feel better.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was activist Eleanor Foresta, disabled activist, getting the shaft from, yes, it's the monopoly housing provider that Christopher Crone constantly supports, Mercy Housing. They're the ones who are getting all the money for the next, for the Dolphin Lee project, even though they won't give guarantees that everybody whose housing is being destroyed will be able to go back into it. Eleanor lives at the Sycamore Commons Project, and she feels she's being retaliated against for her past activism. Wants to keep her apartment as a disabled person. Give a call if you agree that they should reconsider their decision based on what you've heard here, of course. And if Mr. Farmer doesn't agree with you, we can explain perhaps some things that Eleanor isn't telling us, if she isn't telling us something, at 471-1914. 471-1914. We're in the studio with Cassandra Brown, Amy Courtney, and the infamous Robert Norris on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. This is the last 20 minutes of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. It's the man in the bathrobe with the teddy bear, though not actually, don't have it on right now, babbling at you his usual tirade of hate and terror against the good burghers and city council members of our town. Here's your chance to speak up and respond to this kind of personal attack on individuals who are just trying to do the good thing if only we would give them a chance. 427-3772. You can also talk about these traitors who are putting up bedsheets and trying to sap the will of our native patriots, Amy and Cassandra. Should we have them simply tossed out of the studio immediately, or should we wait for the police to arrive? And that's really the question. Give a call to 427-3772 if you have any questions. Amy and Cassandra, you're welcome to do a little talking. I've been doing a lot of babbling here. Anything you feel like discussing?
Yeah, I have one thing that I want to say before I go. I'm involved with the Halt the Bombing, Honor Ramadan, Feed the Afghan campaign that's going on at the Nonviolence Resource Center for Nonviolence with Sharon Delgado and you wear a purple ribbon, and you do a number of different things to support this campaign. And we're going to try and get a number of people to fast the last week of Ramadan, which I believe is the 10th through the 16th, and that to honor Ramadan. And that means waking up before sunrise and eating breakfast, and then going all day without food or water, and then in the evening you can eat. And we want a huge number. We would like a huge number of people, so that people in Afghanistan and other Muslims around the world will know that there are people in America who are supporting them and honoring their tradition, even though there are other Americans that are not and continue to bomb them and kill them. So, and the other things you can do is call your president or send money to Oxfam and other organizations which you could get from the campaign, and you can call the Resource Center for Nonviolence about that campaign and get a purple ribbon.
Oxfam, that terrorist organization that's trying to help the...
Unpatriotic, right. I think they're not connected to the United States.
As long as they aren't connected with any Islamic groups, we don't want to fund any of those questionable foreign people.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I guess I've been reading about... we've read about the disappeared. Finally, we're getting a couple of squeaks of protest from the media about measures they were supporting wholeheartedly a month and a half ago to do a wholesale demolition of our civil rights, civil liberties in the U.S., which have passed. They are now law, folks, and of course the executive orders by President Bush. It's something that I would like to see folks, frankly, on the streets about. I mean, I'm glad to see people as individuals making a stand with, you know, whatever signs that they've got at hand. Though I would prefer that you would rent a billboard, if you don't mind.
Contribute to the local economy.
Yeah, right. I mean, how about building an $83,000 sign at River and Highway? That would work, you know. That would be pretty cool. And then spending some more money to get rid of it. I mean, that's a great idea. But don't spend any money on a campground. That would be a mistake. And don't send any city trucks out to help people whose possessions are about to be swept down the river, because that would be wrong. But anyway, you want to say something. You're nudging toward the mic there. Go ahead, Amy.
I just want to say that the phone number for the Resource Center for Nonviolence is 423-1626, and you can ask for Sharon Delgado. I'm not sure what her extension is, but that's Sharon Delgado, 423-1626, to get involved in that Feed the Afghanis, Halt the Bombing campaign. And I have a musical request. If you do music at all,
yes.
I was perusing the CDs while Ed Davidson was talking, and there's an absolutely lovely song here on the Billy Bragg Internationale, the marching song of the covert battalions, and it's a lovely little ditty. It's pretty short, and I think you're gonna like it a whole lot.
Which track is this?
It is number 3.
A lovely little ditty.
A
request number by one of our guests here. If I can get this thing to work, and let's go for the gusto. Like dead air coming at us. Let me try the other CD machine. We may have to call in one of our famous mechanics to make sure that all is actually
well.
Well,
there's some dead air.
Say that again.
Okay, well, there's some dead air. I'd just like to say, I've been meaning to say this all along as well. My heart goes out to the people at Camp Paradise, and hope you're all doing well out there, and sorry that the whole camp thing isn't working out, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Christine.
Here we are, seeking out the Reds, trying to keep the communists in order. Just remember, when you're sleeping in your beds, they're only 2 days' drive from the Texas border. How can a country large as ours be scared of such a threat? Well, if they won't work for us, they're against us, you can bet. They may be sovereign countries, but you folks at home forget that they all want what we've got, but they don't know it yet. Tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la. Here we come with our candy and our guns, and our corporate muscle marches in behind us. For freedom's just another word for nothing left to sell. And if you want narcotics, we can get you those as well. We help the multinationals when they cry out, protect us. The locals scream and shout a bit, but we don't let that affect us. We're here to lend a helping hand in case they don't elect us. How dare they buy our products and still they don't respect us.
Tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la.
Protecting people like yourself, I have some news for you. We're here to defend wealth. Away with nuns and bishops,
Romero.
The good Lord will help those that help themselves. I have some news for you. We're here to defend wealth.
Tra-la-la-la.
Special guest number for Amy Courtney, whose exploits in peaceful coexistence with the Scotts Valley Police Department have now become legendary, along with Cassandra Brown. If you want more information about what they're doing, do you want me to give out your number, or what's your phone number?
426-6515.
And do that again.
426-6515.
426-6515 to talk to Cassandra and Amy about their plan to return free speech to the freeways. I think that the more support they get, the better, because that's the way you stop repression, supporting free speech, like Free Speech Radio here at 96.3. If you have any questions of either of these two folks, you better call in the next 2 minutes, because it looks like they're getting ready to pack up and leave. 427-3772. I'll be out of here in about 10 minutes myself, so call in if you got some questions or comments to make on this, the last 10 minutes of Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. So, it's been a quick one. Here's a letter to Christopher Crone from somebody in Dignity Village, which is the Portland Camp Paradise. It's been going for a year. They actually got legal status from the Portland City Council, but that was only after they were illegal for 8 months, or actually, I guess it was 6 or 7 months. To Mayor Chris Crone, Santa Cruz, California. I wish to inform you and hope you will let the other politicians of your area know that the Camp Paradise situation is being observed, not just locally, but nationally, and even internationally. I personally, having very little time due to the necessary time needed for research and web design, I've forwarded information I've been receiving to webmasters I work with that deal with social and other issues for posting on their sites. I've also personally posted information received on some online news sites, and in researching have seen coverage of not only Camp Paradise, but of homeless camps elsewhere on many discussion lists, some concerning homeless issues, others concerning other social, economic, and political issues. There are those on the internet that have devoted their time mainly to the homeless issue that have done much more than I have in helping the public to become aware. It seems that there is a rising interest in allowing the impoverished to implement their own alternative living situations, as the governments, federal and otherwise, only spend massive amounts of revenue while accomplishing nothing. The nonprofits people are starting to understand seem to be useless. You have the potential to be a forerunner within the political structure by working with the impoverished that have proven they are trying, and assist them through seeking their advice and finding the things they need toward accomplishing their goal, and in assisting them in health and safety issues, and in the waiving of any zoning or other ordinances that stand in their way. You may also find what kinds of trades they have or artistic and musical talents they have, and assist them in the acquisition of tools, space, etc., to develop and apply their talents, and assist them in marketing their talents so as to allow them earned income as opposed to so-called charity. You may also create work. Handouts do, especially since the organizations that receive funding to help receive much more than what they help with and do nothing towards improving the economic situation. Part of my interest in the homeless situation is due to the fact I haven't forgotten my roots, as I spent time on the streets of your city and observed how your police would go under bridges and other places people might find shelter at night, and in good weather, they would arrest them for public camping. In bad weather, they would kick them out into the elements. I also remember when the homeless would feed the other homeless in the San Lorenzo Park, I believe that was its name, without begging for public donations, and this was halted with the hiring in of security, which would chase the homeless away from a park which was supposed to be public. I remember this very well, and it was this cold-heartedness that led me to become involved in change. True charity is helping people up, not feeding them and allowing them to stay down. Mm-hmm. That's from Elijah Huffman, Dignity Village. Any comments on that, Cassandra? I see you've been listening to that.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I have a friend who I worked with AmeriCorps, so did Amy, actually, and we worked at the Homeless Garden Project and a number of homeless people. It was Paul Lee's idea to have homeless people working with us. It was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, or it was more like they wanted to have homeless people and then housed people could also work, I think, was what it was. And a number of people have become my friends who are not housed, and I feel so powerless on not knowing what to do to help. How can these people be my friends and not help the situation, and really not knowing how to help the situation? So it's hard, and I think the city, it's great that you guys are working hard on the city, and at this time, especially in the winter time, it's so important. And I think it's time for us to go, and I want to thank you so much, Robert, for having us and putting us on the air, and small issue and the broader issue of stopping the war in any way that we can, and I urge all of you to do that.
Yeah, I don't think your civil rights issue is small at all. I think it's so important that you speak up, and that when you're slapped down, you speak up even louder and expose the repression that happens. And that's what you two have done, and that's why it's not a favor to us. I mean, it is a favor to us. It's not a favor to you to bring this issue forward. And again, I encourage people to give a call to Amy and Cassandra at
426-6515
and ask what you can do to assist them, because this is, I mean, there's also, I guess, folks who do peace placarding out at, as it was, 7 to 7:20 at River Street and Highway 1 every morning. Are they still doing that?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some people, and you know what would be great is if someday we just all, like Tuesday morning, we just did the whole freeway in banners. So go get your bed sheets. They're going hot.
And give a call to these two as part of their criminal terrorist conspiracy to fight terrorism. That's the terrorism of the federal government, of course, we're talking about.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks, people of Santa Cruz. See you later.
Thank you, Amy. And we're almost at the end of the show now. Thanks a lot for being with us. Camp Paradise needs your help. I'm going to remind you that they need trucks and people out there to help clear away stuff. There is more rain coming, and before it does and totally causes coronaries in the hearts of the San Lorenzo Urban River Project, the environmentalists who just don't want to see their river blocked up with homeless debris, and I'm not unsympathetic to that. Let's make sure it doesn't become debris. It remains homeless property by getting it to high ground and into storage areas. And they're also going to need some storage areas to do that in. They have, I guess, some already, but they need more. And as important as that, get down there to the cemetery if you can to help out Camp Paradise, which is evacuating. That's the cemetery, the Oddfellows Cemetery, right off the Ocean Street Extension. You take the first left past the freeway entrance and go down there with your vehicle and help out if you can. But also, give a call to City Council, or Shitty Council, as I like to call them in my adolescent fashion, 420-5017, and tell them it is high time for them to immediately suspend the sleeping and camping bans and set up campgrounds, winter campgrounds, which they can do with essentially a fractional appropriation. It doesn't take much energy or effort to do. It takes political will and courage. That's all they need to do. And Christopher Crone can lead the way. When the leaders lead, the people will follow. To invert his comment, when the people lead, the leaders will follow, which he loves to say when you ask him to lead on anything. It means go do the leading yourself. I don't want to do it, even though I've got the political power. So Crone has been invited to call this show and will continue to be invited to call this show. And I commend him for coming down to Camp Paradise helping out, if he did come down and help out. It's not clear what happened there. But I do think that he, as mayor, should demand city help to assist in the fulfillment of the city council resolution, which is to plan and assist in an emergency evacuation and provide all necessary help. That was the Kennedy-Riley resolution. After all, they are enforcing the other part of the Kennedy-Riley resolution, which says enforce the camping ban on the river up and down as soon as possible. So why the hell aren't they enforcing the help the people in the event of flood part of the resolution? The answer being that they don't want to help the people, they want to disperse the people. And the only people that are going to help Camp Paradise are going to be you and I and the community. And that's why we need to establish a second, much more visible, much more public Camp Paradise that will be broader, that will include larger elements of the homeless community, and that will force City Council and perhaps the Board of Supervisors to take real action for some real shelters and for some real encampments, and for decriminalization, so homeless people can try to provide their own shelters this winter as the weather gets nastier and nastier. And I think we are about to be ousted by the infamous V-Man, who usually comes wandering in about this time. In fact, I hear some rustlings next door, and I suspect that... No, I know that this man has arrived, and it's pretty much adios, Roberto, as we like to say.
You're not going
to
start another interview.
I don't think we're going to start another interview at this time. Well, I thought it might be appropriate, and we have actually a minute left. We're going to give you
10 seconds.
Oh, well, 10 seconds, a minute. Anyway, join us next Thursday at 6 to 8 for another edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides, and call 423-HUFF for updates on Camp Paradise, and come to the HUFF meeting, 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square on Wednesday to join us to help work for civil rights for homeless people.
What's your name?
Kenna. Kenna.
And Kenna, you say your boyfriend is in jail?
Yeah.
And are you guys outside?
Yeah, we are.
And how did he get into jail?
He actually got in his ass beat really bad, and he went and told the cops that what happened, and they came and talked to the people that beat him up, and they had not a scratch on him, and they took him to jail for assault.
And when was this?
3 days ago, actually.
Boyfriend's name?
Jeremy Elder.
Where did it happen?
Down on the river.
And what time?
About 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Were you told or did you see them?
I was actually sleeping.
So how did you were told about this later?
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially your boyfriend's story on this?
Yeah. It's not my boyfriend's story, it's the guy who beat his ass's story.
No, he told you, the guy who beat him up, said, I got away and your boyfriend got jailed, ha ha.
Yeah, and if I ever see him again, I'm going to kick his ass for snitching too, so.
Well, keep that in mind, whoever you are. Is that put up on the radio?
Yeah, I do, definitely.
Must do some fancy editing.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have bad language.
Sleeping outside, have police bothered you?
Yeah, they bother me.
What have they done?
They tell me that I have to leave and that they say that it's their street, and I say that it's everybody's street, and they say, well, yeah, I'm included in that, and I'm like, yeah, but so am I. They don't think that I am. They always make me leave. I always go somewhere else. They catch me there, I go somewhere else. I just have to keep moving.
So last night, for instance, you slept outside?
No, last night I actually got a hotel room.
Wow. And how long have you been outside?
I've been outside since July.
And have you been using Interface Satellite Shelter Services or Armory?
No, I don't have picture ID.
And what about churches?
I use churches, but only for food.
Not for shelter.
No.
Why not?
You have to have ID. I don't have ID.
For churches?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's not just the Armory. It's for churches as well. Huh. Would you use the Armory if you had ID? Or?
Yeah, I would. I would.
You're a single woman. You're attractive. You're young. Have you had any problems with assaults, being menaced, harassed?
Yeah, 2 months ago.
And was it somebody you knew, or was it somebody out of the blue?
It's just somebody out of the blue, and I went down and filed a report, but the cops were just, you know, they were being so mean, I didn't want to deal with it, so.
Describe how mean they were, what kind of things they were doing.
They were just saying that was it my fault, and did I antagonize this guy that I didn't even know?
You were leading him on, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
If you'd scarred your face, he might not have done it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. You're to blame, clearly. Have you reported this to any of the fine city agencies, like the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, that are supposed to address these kinds of issues?
No, it's not worth it. They won't do anything. I'm homeless.
Circumstances of the rape were day or night?
Day.
And was it a situation where you were taken off, you know, in the corner somewhere?
I was taken to these apartments, and there's a washing room right outside of them.
Lured or forcibly detained?
Forcibly detained.
And was this a housed person or a homeless person?
I couldn't tell you that. All I know is he's a big black guy.
Would you recognize him if you saw him again?
No, probably not. I didn't get a look at his face.
So he just approached you and threatened you with a weapon, or?
Yeah, he had a knife. And he kept it right here and took me back behind the buildings and everything.
How you doing otherwise?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. It's not raining.
So, do you sleep in groups? Do you sleep alone? Having this incident happen to you?
Well, now I'm sleeping. They took my boyfriend.
Before you were sleeping with one person?
Yeah.
Do you sleep in a place where, like near services or near other people that you know, or are you pretty much out by yourself?
I sleep in Harvey West Park, and I got a couple of pretty good people up there.
Is anybody hassling you in Harvey West? I know they went after the vans and vehicles, I'm told.
The cops came up once when we were walking down from our camp, and they asked us how far back we were, and we told them, and they said that that's okay, because that's not part of the park. That's a national.
Cops or Parks and Rec? Blue or green?
Green.
Probably Parks and Rec Rangers.
Yeah, but they said that it was cool because I didn't have campfires and there's no trash around my place.
Have you been pretty much in the same place for the last?
I've been there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to mention this on the air? Would you rather this not be mentioned?
It could be mentioned on the air.
Mm. Okay. What about other people? You think other people are being left alone? What's your sense?
I think people are actually coming together to try to deal with it without having to involve the cops and everything.
Are police leaving people alone?
No.
And why do you say that?
I don't know. That I guess that's their job to be.
No, I mean, what specific incidents have you heard that make you believe you believe them?
Oh, because, like, a lot of us kids sit on hippie corner, you know, out there in front of New Leaf, and the cops the other day stood there, and weren't going to leave until we all left.
Did they threaten you with anything, or just stand?
Oh, they were standing there with those little zip-tie things, ready to arrest anybody. They were giving us a hard time. We're making jokes about it, and they pull out the zip cords, and they're like, yeah, you want to keep joking about this?
Which police officers were these, do you know?
Azula and some other ones. Two other ones, I'm not sure their names.
And when was this?
Yesterday.
We're talking about Wednesday afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
About what time?
About 2 in the afternoon.
How many people were they confronting?
Probably about a good 8 or 9 people.
Did they explain what their concern was about your behavior? Was it?
They said that if we were people that lived in this town and paid taxes, would we want to walk down the road and see us sitting there?
You were an eyesore.
Huh?
You were an eyesore?
Yeah.
Not that you were doing anything specific that they found illegal.
No.
How about at night in terms of camping? Have you heard of police harassing campers?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that whole Camp Paradise thing.
But other than Camp Paradise?
No, I haven't.
So would you say that other than Camp Paradise, you haven't heard of any instances of police harassment in the last week or two? Right?
No, I haven't.
And you say you have, Mike. What have you heard?
Well, there was a couple homeless people camping out in front of the post office, I believe, or something. It was in the paper.
Oh, really? Which paper? Sentinel?
I'm not sure which one.
Did you read about it in the paper, or you actually talked to people or heard of it?
I read about it, and... I happen to know a few other homeless people that have been in trouble finding places to sleep.
And what did you hear about either this incident or any other?
That, just what I read, that they were camped out, sleeping out in front because they didn't have, you know, it was raining, it's cold, and best thing when that happens is to get dry, and there's not too many places where you can go. And when you're getting kicked out, of course you're going to say something to somebody. And so we all basically know what's going on.
When was this, yeah?
That was just last week. That was
okay.
a couple of days ago, within the past 4 days, I imagine.
Anything either of you want to say that you want to add to tell Free Radio folks?
The cops should just leave us alone, not trying to do anything wrong. We just can't help who we are.
There's a lot of people going through a lot of rough times out there, and, they need things. They don't need any more stress than what they do have, you know. We're trying to help themselves, out of a situation, not into one. And that doesn't help when the people who are supposed to be protecting you and yeah.
Thank you both. We're talking to
Lee.
Go ahead, Lee.
When I was first getting to this town about, this was a few years ago,
right,
after a trip to the East Coast, a working trip, by the way, I was thrown into a police car, handcuffed, booked, fingerprinted, and was told I could not work in this town.
Santa Cruz, California.
Santa Cruz, California.
Progressive Santa Cruz, California.
Progressive Santa Cruz, California.
And what officer did this and why?
I have no idea who they were. There were five of them sitting there screaming at me all at once.
Where did this happen?
Downtown Santa Cruz.
I
was walking down the street.
Did they explain that you were wanted as one of the most notorious terrorists, the Osama bin Laden of the local...
Definitely.
It looked pretty dangerous.
Yeah. I know I do.
And so when you got to the jail, were you, of course...
I told them point blank that I am an ex-Lions restaurant manager. I will never again, quote-unquote, pour them a free cup of coffee again in my life. And they can take that and shove it up their collective you-know-what.
thank you for calling in. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Earth Mommer.
Earth Mommer.
Yeah.
I never recognize you, Earth Mommer, when you get on the phone. Good to hear you again.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. My guest didn't show, but we do have some phone interviews coming up, so I'm happy. And we're talking, of course, about...
homeless issues.
Yeah, homeless issues. Actually, a woman who was raped, a woman who... She was actually going to come into the studio and talk about her experiences in a way it may be reasonable that she's kind of... maybe she's not been able to for numerous reasons, but she can't use the armory, for example, because she doesn't have picture ID. So she's out there tonight finding her own place, and she's alone because her boyfriend's in jail on a charge of assaulting her, and she told me quite clearly it was somebody else who assaulted me now.
Don't you have a couch, dude?
Don't I have a couch?
Yeah.
I don't have a couch. My roommate has a couch. He's the one I'm renting from.
Because it seems like that's an awful story of a...
Well, yeah. I mean, I might
really
have a couch for one night, and I might have a couch for two nights, but what about the third night, or the fourth night, or the fifth night? You know, I mean, come on. What are we going to do? You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of homeless people out there.
Right.
For sure. Right. I had a couple staying here for a while, but it really got too hard for me.
Yeah.
Because there was also, you know, boundaries that I needed to be respected that weren't being respected. But I wanted to talk to you about something else right now.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you about your fucking opening song, dude.
You mean Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Alrighty, hit it.
Like, what's up with that song, dude?
You mean We Didn't Start the Fire?
Yeah, is that why you like it so much? Because We Didn't Start the Fire? Because someone else started the fire? Or?
Well, no, I like it because it talks about kind of the whole political spectrum of events in the last 20 or 30 years. You listen to the whole song, it talks about how...
I try to, but I can't quite understand what he's talking about. I hear, like, Marilyn Monroe come out and, like... You know, I don't know.
It's really sort of what he does is he goes through a whole series of incidents. Syngman Rhee, who's the dictator of South Korea in 1960,
mm-hmm.
Kennedy, Belgians in the Congo. That's about the assassination of Lumumba. These are all kind of the whole U.S. government worldwide tentacles that sort of has brought us to where we are now. And I kind of see it as a sort of a... Well, it's a little out of date, frankly. I mean, I think it was written in the late 80s.
That was my next comment.
Yeah, it is a little out of date. So we need you to rewrite the song and actually make it a local Santa Cruz tune.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't really sing too often.
Oh, come
unless
on.
Unless you listen to my show, which you don't listen to anyone else's show. So.
Well, I occasionally
listen
to
And I'm listening to your show right now. I want you to know that I'm actually listening to your show. You've never called into my show to say that you're listening to my show.
Never?
Once.
All right. I like to hear that. A little accuracy is always good.
A little accuracy. Once.
Oh, yeah.
So, What's going on? What are the phone interviews going to be with?
Well, the phone interviews are going to be with attorney Kate Wells, who has been ill and actually is still ill, but is really very much concerned about... I'm going to ask her to talk about the anti-terrorism, not just the bill, but the practices. Mm. We've already heard from Vinny how the anti-terrorism bill has affected somebody like Mumia, who can't even get a straight reconsideration of new evidence when somebody else confesses to the killing that he did, that he is supposed to have done.
Right.
And, you know... That 1996 Clinton bill is already bad enough. Now we got this latest the Bush, bomb him into submission bill of 2001, the Detention and Surveillance Act, as I like to call it, or the Patriot Act.
So you're going to talk to an attorney about that?
We're going to talk to an attorney about its implications locally, because I think we have to consider what's really happening locally. I mean, it's very nice to talk about Afghanistan, but I want to talk about what this means for us.
Wow.
I mean, if we can get her on the phone, she may, hopefully she'll be well enough to do that. She canceled a taping with the video journalist Becky Johnson last night on for the Club Cruise
show. What do you know about what's going on in Afghanistan?
I know what the wonderful establishment media and then the counterculture media tell me. I don't know anything else. I got no direct sources. Of course, I have had a few conversations with Osama bin Laden, and that suggested, that he come here as part of, a Free Radio Santa Cruz fundraiser. $25 million fundraiser, we're thinking of that, but so far I've gotten no response.
You are funny.
Thank you.
That was a joke.
That was a joke, actually, yes.
Yes, it was a joke.
It was a joke, yes.
Because, I don't know much about what's going on in Afghanistan. I think that that's pretty important. I definitely think that our civil liberties here in America are important, too, but I'm kind of hoping that we lose some of them so that we can become more aware of what a fucked up government we're living under.
Well, the irony is that if you lose civil liberties, it doesn't mean you become more aware. It may mean you become less aware, because unless you are a political activist, you may not notice the loss of civil liberties until the people around you start disappearing, and then you'll be able to tell yourself, well, they took the risk, and they lost it, and they were too political, and that's why they've disappeared into jail or left the country. you know, or slipped out of sight. So it's kind of, you know, I mean, it's like South Africa. Yeah, South Africa in 1960 was a little like this. They passed the Suppression of Communism Act, which made, you know, and there was another thing called the Anti-Terrorism Act, if you can believe it. Similar acts, that was 40 years ago, to criminalize the African National Congress. And we have the same thing happening here, where it's not just people who are, you know, putting anthrax in envelopes or, you know, planning to smash bombs into, planes into buildings, but it's going to be if you are contributing to a group like if you're contributing to a charity group that's connected with Hamas, the Palestinian, you know, group that took credit for some of the suicide bombings this weekend, then your funds get frozen and you get investigated, and then you may just disappear along with the other more than 1,200 people that the government refuses to tell us where they are or who they are.
Yeah. I wonder about all the people in Afghanistan, though, you know, who've disappeared. I kind of felt like that last, like when you commented that, you know, like, you're not so worried about what's going on in Afghanistan. You want to focus more on what's here. I'm glad that you do that, because at Free Radio, we talk a lot about what's going on in Afghanistan, and I think that that's really important.
It is, sure.
And I think it's important that we have a balance. But it also kind of made me feel like you were only, like, really being interested in what was affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that kind of, you know, that kind of upsets me, because what's affecting people in other countries is also affecting us, even if it isn't directly affecting us.
Right. No, I mean, that's certainly true. But the reality is, I mean, the Afghanis, there are millions of refugees over there, and they're going to be starving
dying.
This winter. But, I mean, you know, that's for people to start blanket drives for the Afghani refugees but not deal with the crisis here with the Santa Cruz homeless, who are our local refugees, I regard as kind of the height of absurdity, particularly since we're talking about millions of people over there that have to be dealt with through a large-scale government effort. It's not going to be 1,000 points of light to deal with the Afghani refugee. Here, you can actually get together enough blankets to, you know,
affect some change.
Yeah, at least to get people warm for the winter. We can show up at City Council next Tuesday.
So where's the blankets?
Something.
Where's the blanket drive? Where do we put blankets if we have blankets? Where should we take them?
You should call Becky Johnson at 429-8529. She's doing a Huff blanket drive. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm listening, so don't say anything sexist, or I'll be in there to kick your ass.
I will say nothing of that sort. Oh, woman of mine. A woman of, yes, not a word. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Talking with Charlie Stevens, who's a public defender here at the courthouse, about 10:25 on March 29th. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning.
I mentioned to you that the prosecutor is currently deciding whether to file charges on a 403, which I guess I was jailed for on March 12th at City Council, which is disrupting a lawful assembly. I was accused of disrupting the assembly by raising my hand briefly in a two or three second salute. But this charge, you say, is usually used under other conditions in plea bargains.
The only time I've seen it used is during plea bargain conditions where, for instance, minors are found in possession of alcohol and would otherwise mandatorily lose their license. And the court and the people feel that maybe that's an inappropriate penalty. So we work out something around an unlawful assembly so the juvenile or the minor is able to keep their license, yet there's still some penalty imposed upon them for having alcohol when they shouldn't. I've never heard of it used in a situation like you've been charged with here, Robert.
Well, as you pointed out, there are probably some First Amendment issues involved. That means that, of course, this notorious First Amendment attorney with the briefcase will have to be called in. Well, you're part of the public defender's office. Do you ever get involved in cases privately?
Sometimes, when my caseload allows it, yes.
Well, and then we may approach you and try to get you to defend me on this case.
Robert, as you know, I've got a new addition to my life here that's taking a little time away from my work.
One
so this
of those
is
little characters.
One of those little pint-sized characters. So this isn't the best time for me necessarily to be picking up stuff on the side. But I am sure that either someone actually from our office or someone else in the community would be interested in this, because it does appear on the surface to have some very serious First Amendment issues.
Thank you, Charlie. We're talking to that street-side DJ, Uncle Ernie. Hey, Ernie.
Okay,
give us a little something, a little symptom, give us a little your shtick here.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. I'm going to write a little letter and send it to my local DJ. There's a jumping little record that I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, rolling in 2x2.
Now, Bernie, you are also a man who plays the piano as well as chess, and you were hassled up on campus a couple months ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been going to the campus ever since I was invited as a speaker in a conference on strategic computing, but, you know, since I became somewhat much poorer than I was formerly, the profile that they have exhibited toward me is significantly different. In fact, I was hassled, like, for over and over again by the police, and they act like that's a mark against me, you know, that they have to contend with me and that I'm disruptive, you know.
Up at UCSC.
Yes, but, you know, finally, there was supposed to be a court case, which I stood a good chance of winning because there was a perjury involved where they claimed that I was told to leave the music room and I refused to leave. I mean, there's a cop coming to the door and I'm refusing to leave from the music room. But that's what it said, pain of perjury. That was the arraignment charges.
And what were the actual facts involved?
Well, the actual facts were involved. It was a chilly morning. I was a little early to go to the library, so I went in there to warm up and play some piano until the library opened. But you know, that I didn't
realize.
Have
you been given permission?
I, as far as I knew, the only restriction was after 8 o'clock at p.m. You know, then it became trespassing. But then they told me that I was there too early. And they were very clear that it was a misunderstanding, that I didn't realize that I wasn't.
Who told you that you were there too early?
The policeman that came.
University police.
Yeah, and so then he arrested me. You know, and the reason for the arrest really is because they were just tired of answering calls. You know,
how many calls had you been that they had called for with respect to you?
Oh, probably at least 10. You know.
Who were the people who were calling, and why was that?
It usually was just janitors who thought that they were doing their duty or like they just felt good about
raping
doing
students
it.
Or stealing property.
No, I mean there's no allegation that I committed any kind of act of any type whatsoever. I mean, none of the things that even none of the complaints about me had to do with anything that I did other than maybe being at the wrong place at the wrong time without realizing
all
it.
All sort of the wrong sort of person on campus.
I mean, it's basically the kind of thing where they don't. I mean, one cop says this is a community of scholars, and you're not a scholar. And I said, you want to bet? I've published 3 books. What are the 3 books?
Yeah.
Well, they're technical books, and they're out of print by now. But I'm working on one.
Can you give us the title of one of them?
Sure, artificial intelligence and object oriented programming.
You didn't just make that up.
No, there were 3 books, and they were on, you know, some really advanced software technologies, artificial intelligence, and object-oriented programming. And, you know, I mean, I'm a serious person, and I go up there to work, and all the people in the library and whatnot that see me there, you know, the students that are there see that I know what I'm doing. They ask me questions, and I help them out, and they're appreciative of it. But the police, who aren't even ever there, claim I'm disruptive, you know, so it's like.
So this most recent case, you were arrested for trespass. You were actually held in jail or just cited?
Yeah, I went to jail. I went to jail for about 6 or 7 hours, and then when I went to court, they said, well, all we really want to do is to bar you from campus, and then I was assigned a public defender who didn't even introduce herself.
Who was it?
Really.
Who was she?
Carrie Camarena, and I mean, she actually screwed the case up so bad it gave me more time to try and figure out what to do. But
then they used some other alternative than the courts.
Yeah, so they stood an excellent chance of spinning their wheels and losing the case anyway, because it was a I mean, they only stated one thing on pain and perjury, and that one thing was false, so they were in bad shape. I was thinking that the case could even have been thrown out with a demur or something, because you have to allege a fact.
False statement that they made.
I told you, like they said that I was asked to leave and I refused.
Which is the basis of a trespass case.
Yeah, well, I asked the judge if it was a criminal or I said there's a distinction between criminal and non-criminal trespassing, and he says yes, there is a distinction. And I said, which is this? He says criminal. I say, okay, well, I guess I need a lawyer then, because I'm not a criminal and I haven't done anything criminal. So I'm playing piano, you know. Since when is playing piano a crime? You know.
Dan White, get a job.
So now, I'm dealing with the administration. The police obviously, put the administrator up to sending this letter barring me from various buildings that I want to use on the campus. But it isn't without recourse, because he said this can be rectified at the end of the letter. So plus, he doesn't really know anything about me or
So you've been barred from campus?
No, I've been barred from certain buildings on the campus that. All the ones, namely, that I want to use, the libraries and the music
center.
What
is your recourse to change this?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to write him a letter and try and arrange a meeting with him. And
who is this man?
It's an assistant dean or something. I forget the guy's name.
And how long before this had you been allowed access to the campus without this kind of hassle?
20 years.
Well, you're obviously a very disreputable type. I'm afraid he can't allow you on campus any further. Sing on, Ernie.
Right on, okay.
We're at Sushi Now, and it's about 25 to 5. There's a dispute here in front of Sushi Now.
Right.
And there's a concern with a non-smoker who doesn't like the smell of smoke.
Right. I don't like
and folks
it in California.
Who are,
that's what
you
I'm
can't
saying.
Smoke inside. You go
well,
to other
you
places.
You can smoke in the
bar.
Well, no.
In the
club.
Yeah,
because it's so
and you
thick.
Think that's good?
And then you
I don't.
All the
but it's their own thing. You know?
Don't hang out here.
Don't hang out here.
If I don't like it, I'll go outside. You know?
Coexist. Adapt.
So has there been a hassle here with the police today? Any problems?
No, I've had no problems. He said that I'm tired of the people here, and I said, the people were here before you came here, and they'll be here after you came here. And he started talking about this big thing, the fenced off area.
Yeah.
Well, and he said, it's all about money. That's what he said, straight up. And I said, it's all about money, right? It's not about the people. I see people walking down the street saying, man, this thing sucks, because they're bumping into people because they got to walk in this little narrow aisle.
It obstructs the sidewalk.
Right? But as long as he's making his money,
right.
he's mad at us because we're here.
Oh, well, I would say ignore that. That's my suggestion.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a right to his opinion,
but
you have a right to be here.
He just came, directed some derogatory, attention to me, so I gave it back to him.
I'd like to commend you for maintaining your position here and your tolerance.
We were here before him, and there'll be people hanging out after his business goes bankrupt.
Well, it doesn't look like they're doing much business. I only see two tables with two people each.
Yes.
At them now.
Nobody buying anything at either one of the establishments right now.
Well, how's that been? I mean, I only come occasionally during the day. Is there business?
Those tables are never filled up.
Are they ever half filled? I mean, does it happen much?
Maybe like noon. Maybe noon on Fridays and Thursdays and, real busy days, it might get, about half full.
There's about six people there now, and that's...
They'll probably kick them off as soon as they're, finished with their food or something.
Well, I know that they've excluded people who are trying to eat food from New Leaf sitting in this area.
They're actually... I don't think... Yeah?
I'm going to go... They gave me a chicken enchilada instead of a cheese one.
It's another serious matter here. We'll get into that later.